Welcome to the Money Talk Podcast. I am Eric L. Cooper, and I am your host. This is the podcast where I'll try to educate you about all things money. If you'd like to ask questions or leave feedback, you can find me on Instagram. The username is Eric L. Cooper. That is E-R-I-K-L-C-O-O-P-E-R on Instagram. Because I am a financial advisor, I've got to hit you with a quick disclosure. This podcast is published and provided for informational entertainment purposes only. The information in the podcast is not investment advice and constitutes the content creator's own opinions. None of the information contained in the podcast constitute a recommendation that any particular security, portfolio, securities, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any specific person. Thank you. Hello, podcasters, podcast listeners, podcast universe. It has been a minute. As you know, I am Eric L. Cooper, and I am back to talk about money, to talk about wealth, what has happened to your money. It has been a crazy week with the coronavirus. We were down 4.4% today, 3% yesterday, 3.4% the day before. It's 3 days. It's been quickly lagging down in the markets. What are we to do? How do you build wealth in an environment like this? Do you sell it all? Do you go away? You come back another day. Sell in May, go away. That's typically the summer theme. Do you buy nothing but Clorox, which was basically one of the only names to perform today, which was up 0.67%. It's up a percent, 1.3% after hours, because people think people are going to be buying a lot of Clorox in after hours markets. So it is a time of fear. It is a time of consternation among investors. But what do we do about it? How do you regulate your emotions? Well, I made a couple posts. You got to center yourself. You got to breathe. You got to take a moment. Take a walk. Maybe some moving meditation. Maybe you need to get in the weight room. Play some tennis. Hit something. Smash it. But why are you here? What should you do with your money? The wealth rules have not changed. In fact, they're more important now than ever. You have to maintain your discipline. You have to dollar cost average. You have to save all your money and keep investing. Look, if you liked stocks at the beginning of the year, which were near their all-time highs, with a valuation, a PE, that's a price to earnings multiple, so that's the earnings of all the companies combined together. You take that multiple, multiply by the numbers about 24.6, that's an estimate, in the beginning of January, and that gives you what the S&P 500 is trading at, okay? So the math is easy. So the index isn't some magical thing. So the S&P 500, where it's trading, is literally just the earnings of all the companies times a multiple, which gives you then gives you the index of where the S&P 500 is trading. So, beginning of the year, the multiple was nearly 25 times. It's expensive. Why do I say that's expensive? Well, now, after our sell-off, our recent few-day sell-off, we're at 22.4 times. What is the mean or the average, and what is the median or the midpoint? Where does this thing usually trade out? Where the mean is usually about 15.78 times, so a little under 16. So the average PE ratio is about 16. The midpoint is usually about 15 or 14.8 times earnings, okay? So this isn't the best measure. It's not the only measure. There's probably a half a dozen measures you should look at. But broadly defined, it can tell you valuations. Is the market overvalued, undervalued? So what happens in the market? There is a thing called reversion to the mean. So if multiples are much higher than the market, then the market tends to revert back to the mean. If you looked at the 2008 housing crisis, the PE ratio got much lower than the mean. I mean, we probably hit single digits, mid to high single digits. The lowest it's ever been was December of 17, was 5.3, the minimum. I don't remember the exact number during the housing crisis, but it was low. And then it reverts back to the mean. It comes back to the middle over time. So right now we're trading at 22 times earnings, which is higher than the mean. So some reversion to the mean is necessary and expected. Trees don't grow to the sky. The markets don't always go up. We always have something to blame it on. There's always a reason for the reversion to the mean. In what, early 2000s, we had the dot-com crisis. In 1637, we had the tulip crisis. People are just bidding up tulips. Didn't make any sense. We had the Asian contagion crisis in, was it 98? In 87, we had Black Monday. 2008, we had the housing crisis. Too many people trading credit default swaps, insurance on mortgages, too many people doing liar loans. We got reversion to the mean. And you know what happened in that crisis? If you did not sell, you were coming out way, way ahead. And if you had the discipline and the, frankly, the stones to buy on the way down and buy near the bottom, you came out way ahead. So I suspect similar things will happen. Even though this is really freaking scary, it's real dollars. I've got real dollars at risk. When you say, oh, I lost a car today. If I just had that money, but it just disappeared, paper wealth gone. I think a couple of days ago, I don't know what the number is. It's probably closer to $10 billion now, but Bezos on the big leg down lost $4 billion. Does that mean anything to him? No, he doesn't care. It's a long-term game. He built this wealth differently than you and I have probably built our wealth. Which brings us to the most important point. How do you build wealth amidst a coronavirus in 2020 with the market melting down? The rules don't change. They really don't. I know building wealth is not easy, but it's pretty simple if you use a few tried and true tested rules. So the first thing you want to do, max out your 401k or equivalent employee contribution plan. So if you're a teacher, that could be a 529. If you're like me, self-employed, it's a SEP IRA. That's a self-employment plan, pension plan, maybe IRA, individual retirement account. I forget how the acronyms all work together. Maybe you have an ESOP, employee stock ownership plan that you should be participating in. There are many different structures, the most common of which is probably a 401k. It's probably the structure you own. Unless you're a teacher, then it's a 403b. But you should probably be maxing that out. So I get pushback on this one sometimes. I say, yeah, but sometimes the 401k plans are garbage because they charge really high fees. And no one on the planet is more of a proponent of looking at your fee structure and making sure they're low than I am, right? If you've ever listened to anything I ever said, it's like, lower your fees. I've built my whole business, my whole practice on lowering your fees, maybe to my detriment sometimes. But yes, so 401k plans sometimes are garbage and sometimes have terrible fees. But the one thing I will say to counteract that is employers often match up to a certain percentage of that 401k. So if you're not participating at all, then you're leaving free money on the table. That employer is literally trying to give you free money. So they may match 50% on a dollar up to 6% or some structure like that. So if they are doing that, you should contribute at least 6% up to, I think it's a $19,000 in 2020. I'll have to double check that number. But if you're not doing that, let's see, 2020 limits. If you're not doing that, you're leaving free money on the table. All right, it's $19,500 is the maximum contribution. You should probably be doing all that, even if the fee structure isn't great, because then you tend not to do it outside of it. So if it's taken out of your paycheck before you ever see it, that's probably the best way to go, because then you're not inclined to spend it. The one thing I would caution you to do is if you are using a 401k plan, make sure you have investments selected. Some people will get a 401k plan. Cash is being diverted into the account, and they've never selected investments. So it's just sitting in a cash account, and there's fees being charged on top. So that's not a win for anybody. So make sure not only that you're contributing, but that you are picking investments suitable to your age and temperament in the markets. So if you're very risk averse, you probably have more bonds. If you like risk loving and you're trying to double your money quickly, you probably have more stocks. But make sure you're picking something in your 401k plan. On to the next point about fees. Buy the most inexpensive products you can buy. These should be probably low-cost index funds, ETFs, exchange-traded funds. They should be well-diversified. Don't try to pick single stocks. Talking to a client today, he really liked Exxon. Well-run company. He's an energy guy. Feels like he understands the business. The dividend yield is now above 6.5%. He's saying, hey, you're getting a great dividend. My pushback, my feedback, my ideas to him were, hey, I like the dividend idea. It gives you some downside protection, but how about getting an index fund that buys 50, 60, 80 companies that are all paying a dividend? So now you have diversification. You can do that for a low fee. Not hard to find that. But if you are an investor who is inclined to want dividend yield, find something that's a little broadly diversified instead of picking one company that's paying a good dividend. So I had a client and friend years ago who thought mall REITs were great, but they have such a high dividend yield. Well, he got kicked in the butt on those because those single stock names just did not pan out. So even though they're paying a 14% dividend yield, the stock got tanked and then he had single stock risk. So buy well-diversified funds. Which leads me to my next point. Never, or try to never, unless, you know, you have someone who works at a company, maybe you have an inside track, but I don't think that's a great idea because then you're flirting with, you know, knowledge maybe you shouldn't have. That's a whole other ball of wax. But don't buy and sell individual securities. Again, well-diversified funds. Okay. What's the next way to get rich in 2020? Save at least 20% of your money. I know that sounds dumb. You're like, Eric, you're an idiot. No one can do that. Well, there's a whole FIRE movement. Is everyone aware of the FIRE movement? Financial independence, retire early. They are talking about saving 50, 60, 70% of their money, cutting expenses down to the bone, eating only rice and beans, never going to a movie, so they can save and retire early. So you, as an everyday Joe or Jane, you can work it up. Start at 5%. Are you saving 5% or 10? But try to get the 20% of your money that you're putting away for your future. Next way to get rich, or at least this one's to not get poor in 2020. Pay off your credit card balance in full every month. Some people, I agree with an emergency savings account. You should have one. You absolutely should have an emergency savings account. But if you are earning 1%, 2%, 1.5% on your cash, even if you're smart enough to have an online-only high-yield savings account versus your bank that's paying you nothing, maybe 0.03% for your corner bank brick-and-mortar place. If you're not earning anything there and then you're paying 15% on a credit card, what are you doing? That math does not work out. It just doesn't. Pay off your credit card every month. Take the cash that you have for an emergency, pay off the credit card. Look, I know there's a lot of debate around this, but pay off the credit card. And then you still have the credit card if you need it for an emergency. Then you can start paying the 15% APR. But please don't do that. Please don't do that. Okay, we talked about it earlier. Avoid fees. I know there's pushback, 401k, sometimes are high fees. Well, avoid fees in every product you buy. You should be able to find fees that are so low, you barely notice them on your account. 5 basis points. What is a basis point? Well, 100 basis point is 1%. That's what a typical investment advisor charges. dirty little secret of mutual funds, a lot of mutual funds, without even using an investment advisor, will charge 1%, 1.25%, 1.5%. And there's $1 trillion still sitting in mutual funds. I don't know the exact number, but it's high. Charging these high fees. Go ahead. Don't worry about wealth managers or mutual fund companies. Go ahead and feel free to decimate them. Stop paying 1.5%, 1%. When you can find something for 10 basis points, 5 basis points, you can build a fully allocated portfolio with a weighted average fee of under 10 basis points. So that's 0.1%. 100 basis points is 1%. 0.01% is 1 basis point. 0.1% is 10 basis points. Okay, I know that was a lot of math, and I hope I got that right, okay? But lower your fees. Okay, how to get rich in 2020? Well, you might be able to do all this on your own. You can go open your own brokerage account, pick out the products, understand what you need to do, and I encourage it. There's a library. You can pick up some books, read them. They'll probably tell you what to do, and they'll probably do a pretty good job if you're buying a reputable book. If you are working with a financial advisor, someone who's giving you advice, make sure they are adhering to the fiduciary standard. The hell does that mean? The fiduciary standard, as opposed to the suitability standard. Now there's some hybrid thing coming out called BIC, which confuses me, and I'm in the industry, which is the best interest of clients standard, which is some sort of hybrid, which just means there's more disclosure. So you might sell them some products under which you're operating as a fiduciary and some under which you're operating as a suitability standard. FINRA, SEC, Department of Labor, whoever's involved in this has dropped the ball. It's terrible what's happening out there. In addition to, they're about to allow annuities into 401ks. It's a terrible decision. That's a terrible lobby by the insurance industry. All right, that's a whole other rant. Let me back to this. Make sure your advisor is adhering to the fiduciary standard. That means that your interests have to come above all else. The client's interest come first. That's it. Full stop. Fiduciary standard, client's interest come first. Ask your lovely advisor, he or she, do they adhere to the fiduciary standard? And if they say no, turn around and run. Because they probably adhere to the BIC, if this is a thing, or the suitability standard, which means their firm interest comes first. Their firm shareholders come before yours. Their profit motive comes first. Then you. The products they put in your account just have to be reasonable enough. Reasonable enough. So if you're, you know, an 85-year-old man or woman, they can't just have you in 100% equities because that would not be suitable. But if they have you in 85% bonds for that client, but that bond product, the fee on it was 1.5%, they'd say, hey, that's fine. Under for the fiduciary standard, theoretically, the advisor has to make sure that product has reasonable fees because your interests come first, not that of the firm. And they're probably charging you a different way that is fully transparent with full disclosures. So ask your advisor that. Know your fees. Are they a fiduciary? Okay. Last thing to think about in 2020, how to get rich, how to make money, how to beat the coronavirus. This one's dumb, but it's true. Learn that Wall Street is not there to make you money necessarily. It's there to make themselves money. Wall Street's there to take your money. This goes back to the suitability versus fiduciary. They are there to serve their firm and their shareholders. Then you, for-profit business. I'm not saying I'm an angel here. I am also a for-profit business. But I am a registered investment advisor. adhering to the fiduciary standard, which means clients come first. Okay. You just have to know the distinction. I know it can get a little wonky. It can get a little murky. And some of it is absolutely ridiculous. I couldn't agree more. In conclusion, max out your 401k or equivalent plan, your IRA, your Roth IRA. Get any tax deferral you can while you can. Buy inexpensive, well-diversified funds. Stay away from individual securities. Save at least 20% of your income. Please, please, please pay off your credit card every month. Keep the fees low. I know. I keep saying it. It's obnoxious. But here I am. Keep them low. Under 10 basis points. Perfect. Advisors adhere to the fiduciary standard and know the game that Wall Street's playing. Thank you for listening. Please let me know what you'd like to listen to and think about for next time. We'll see you then. Thank you for listening to the Money Talk Podcast. I am Eric L. Cooper. You can find me on Instagram at E-R-I-K L. Cooper. On Instagram, Spotify, iTunes, all those lovely places. If you'd like to be a guest, hit me on the gram. See you next time.